Random thought.
Mm-hmm.
Are traditional gender roles still a thing?
Hmm. I think it can be. But really curious to see where this conversation goes, because you know me, I'm quite opinionated.
No, you don't say.
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been elsewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 135. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and please leave a review.
So, random thought is out here. Are traditional gender roles still a thing? And the reason I ask this, because, you know, of course, interviews, artists, and wonderful comments like this from Lotto when she was overseas.
Saying they want a traditional woman, like, oh, can you cook? Can you do it? You're not a traditional man.
Thank you.
Be a traditional man. Is you even a breadwinner, boo? Sit down.
Anyway, thank you so much
for
this
interview. Can you change your
tire? Yeah. Uh-huh. Have you built a house?
Have you built a house, baby? Y'all want traditional women. Y'all not traditional men. Period.
They don't deserve a traditional woman.
No, you don't. You don't, boo. You should be submissive to me, actually.
You should be submissive to me, actually. Is you the breadwinner in your house?
She lost me at Is You Even. After that, I was just like, let me just shut down. Is you is or is you ain't my baby. So here's what I take issue with what she is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's ignorant comments that she made her viewpoint. But all the things they were saying about a traditional man, you change tires, you build a house, it's bullshit. And maybe that's the question. It's not so much that the gender roles are those out the window anymore.
Right.
It's, are we having the right conversations with each other? Because everything she said is crazy. I want to know if a woman can cook. Not because, yes, I want you to cook for me all day, but I need to know, okay, if you can't cook, okay, I have three options. Help you learn.
Mm-hmm.
I cook myself, mm-hmm, or we eat out a lot. And I got to figure out if I can afford number three.
Well, let's be real. It's not even about affording number three. Number three is not and should never be an option. It's not the healthiest option. You know, is you in the gym every day if we're going to eat out every day? I'm just saying. Okay. Because let's be honest, it's not the healthiest thing. Because I'm sure you're not saying, well, let's go to the salad bar again. No. And here's the thing. It's not saying you've got to be barefoot in the kitchen all the time, right? A man, right, asking if you can cook is not, and wanting you to cook is not a bad thing. I think women have made that a bad thing. Like for me, I love to cook, right? And my wife can cook. Great. Now, if she couldn't cook, I mean, I don't know. We never had to have that conversation because she can. But, but she can cook. And she does. But I like to cook. So I'll cook before her at times just because I'm like, and besides, I'm a picky eater too. So, you know, I got to make sure
she
doesn't throw stuff in my food that I don't want to eat.
Like vegetables.
Yes, exactly.
And all the stuff that's healthy that you're saying you can't get when you eat out. When you're at home, you're not cooking anything healthy either. So stop it.
Hold up. You'd be I made bacon-wrapped asparagus once on the grill, or twice, or maybe three times. I mean, I didn't eat any of it, but I made it.
Okay. So if I eat a bacon-wrapped Flintstone vitamin, is it still good? Does it still help?
Okay. Yes, because the Flintstone vitamin is good for you, and bacon, it's bacon. God damn it, that's okay. Always good.
So if what I made you some bacon-wrapped kale, bacon-wrapped cauliflower.
Again. I said I didn't eat the asparagus. I'm not even peeling the bacon off and eating that, okay?
Well, so I think what she's, her whole, you know, point that she was making, which I really still don't know what it was. I think it's a bad argument. Mm-hmm. And what I don't like about it is I feel like those type of things coming from a celebrity like a Lotto, right? Mm-hmm. Other young women hear that bull crap,
mm-hmm,
and they think the same thing. And that causes a problem because I'm sure there's more context to what she wanted than that Instagram clip that went out. And I'm sure there's more context for why she said these things. And if you don't add that, you got to figure young people got to listen to this crap and think that, okay, well, a man should submit to me. No, he wouldn't. And no, he shouldn't. And I don't think that, honestly, my belief, one shouldn't have to submit to the other, to team. And you compromise. Sometimes I'm going to win. Sometimes you're going to win. But that's what compromise is. But I would love to meet a woman in the comments. Hit us up at rgrtpod@gmail.com and tell me why you would want a man that submits to you. Because I feel like that's going to be a beta dude that over the course of 3 to 6 months tops, you're going to walk all over and hate. But I would love to find a woman that's like, my guy submits to me and our relationship has been awesome.
Okay, but let's be real. What she is saying is not that she wants a submissive man. She's saying to the men that are not on her level, right? And this is what I think we really have to understand, right? And if you dissect what she was saying, because she goes, is you even the breadwinner in the house? Well, with her, unless you're on a certain level, and because she's in a different tax bracket right now.
Right.
So the guys that she's dealing with, if they're above her, is that when she'll go and traditionally get her ass in the kitchen and cook? Or does he have to go build a house from scratch first? Does he have to go build the living room furniture, become Jesus and become a carpenter and build the furniture? Is that what he has to do to be that traditional man in order for her to say, okay, I'm going to go in the kitchen and cook? Because here's the thing. For her, well, she said you should be submissive to me if she's the breadwinner. And you've talked about this power dynamic in relationships already. So is it because there's a power dynamic because of who has the bigger income? Should that person, the other person, be submissive to that breadwinner? Is that because that's basically what she's saying. If I'm the breadwinner, you need to be submissive to me, actually, because I make more than you. That's what she's saying.
Right. That is what she's saying. What I've always argued is you have the financial power dynamic that you have to have the conversation and make sure you're both aligned. Mm-hmm. So she can make the money that she makes as a celebrity. Let's just say she's worth $100 million. I'm going to throw it out there. Let's say she's worth $100 million.
Not, but
now, if she meets a guy and this guy went to good dude, good, honest dude, as some people would say, good Christian man that got his learned a trade, is electrician and makes $55,000 a year. Good dude. She's not going to date him because he doesn't make enough money. Thus, he can't call the shots. He can't say anything. So he's not going to feel respected as a man, period. Now, if she were to meet a dude who made $200 million and she made $100 million, is her attitude going to be any different? No. I think she'll have the same stank attitude she has now with that person as she would with somebody who makes less than her. So I don't think it's a money thing for her, but there are so many good men out there.
It's an excuse, yes.
It's an excuse to try to say, you're not good enough because you don't make as much money as me. Okay, well, all the dudes you've been hooking up with that make the same money you do, they don't keep you. They don't want you. And so here's this other person. And I really, honestly, I think that is an opportunity in all communities. It's that it's not about money and what you can bring to the table from a financial standpoint. Sometimes you want a good quality person. That person might not be making the six figures that you make. Doesn't mean they're not good.
Here's the thing, though. Okay, so when you talk about the hundred millions, and hundred million is way more than she's making, but and I don't know her net worth, but I'm sure it's not that close. But even if we come back down to something more believable, okay, or more for the average person,
okay,
which is below her standard, even at 100,000. Let's talk about the average person, the layman, right? Let's not even get to Lotto. Let's talk about her message and what it spreads to everybody else, right? Because this is the same conversation that Ebony K. Williams was having with Ayanna Van Zandt, and they had, and we talked about this about a month and a half, 2 months ago, right? Because basically she would say, no, she wouldn't date a bus driver unless he owned the bus, right? Which that was her thing. That was her standard. And I get it. You have to have standards. But the understanding is that how do those roles go? Because there are women who will still say, who make more and still say, oh, well, I don't want to be the one running the house because I run the company. I want this, right? It's not saying that the man has to be submissive, but like you talked about, that power dynamic sometimes because of the financial power in the relationship, it kind of shifts things. Because when you get to the 100 million, well, just buy, just get some maids. They'll take care of all that. Don't get a cook,
right.
Get a chef, right? So when you come back down to this level where it's okay, let's see what we can make. The 50,000 versus 100,000. 50,000 versus 75,000. What if you made 55 and he made 50? You still right. make more. Does that change it? Are you still not cooking breakfast because you still make more than him technically? Or is this really making it work? Because that's what it takes to make relationships work. It's going to be that compromise like you talked about.
Well, I think you bring up a valid point. So let's bring it down to real scenarios. If you are a woman in a powerful position, executive level role, corporation, and let's say you're making $200,000 a year and you're on the dating marketplace and you come across a guy that makes $60,000, that could be the electrician I was talking about. Now, let's say he's an electrician, pays his bills on time, credit score is 800, has an apartment, doesn't own a house because the housing market is a little challenging right now, has his own car, doesn't have babies. You know, it's just a good dude. I think what happens is the people that are at that 200,000 are going to still not date that guy or use it as a reason to not be with him, which is what I think Lotto does, is use that as a reason. You're not on my level financially. Thus, you should submit to me. And I think that is the problem and vice versa, right? But here's the other difference is it's hard to say vice versa because men, we normally don't depend on a woman's money. So how much a woman makes is not what motivates us to date her, right? Okay. So you could just like, okay, look at, what's his name? Matt Damon. Matt Damon's wife, as he was a movie star, he met her, she was a bartender. Didn't matter what she made, right? But that's who he was with, and she was a bartender, and that's great. Now, the other hard part is, if you look at some of these folks that, if you're making $200,000 as a woman and you meet a guy who makes $500,000, there's different things that come with those type of responsibilities.
Hey, you keep going with these higher numbers.
Okay, 200, 250. But I'm saying that if you, because we joke about April that was on 9 Day Love in Paradise and how money she makes. And she's going after this guy who was a trainer. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make anywhere near the money that she makes because the other guys who made the kind of money she made, they had different requirements. They weren't easily available and all those different challenges where she felt like
they had a lot somebody more who's options.
And they have a lot more options because that's the other thing. Because I think more women are faithful than men, in my opinion. I have done research. I just truly believe that. Mm-hmm. But they have a lot more options. So if you're a woman making 250 and you date an electrician making 50, 60, great. But if it's raised around, well, that man making 250 and you're only making 50, could he cheat? Possibly.
Yeah, but so could the man that's making 52 because here's the thing about it. If you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat regardless of how much you make, right? And, you know, you hear women make the statement when they're joking around having fun talking about broke dick is the best dick. All right, well, you know, because that man is screwing for a house to live in and a damn good meal. But the other part of this, and I think part of what you got to keep in mind, right, is that if this is what a woman is accustomed to, she's single, she's been working hard to get where she is, she's got this money up, and she's accustomed to living a certain lifestyle. When she goes on vacation, she's accustomed to flying first class. Now, here's the difference. You start dating somebody who is out of your tax bracket. And when we talk about out of your tax bracket, from 150 or 200,000 down to 50, that's way out the tax bracket, right? Is that person going to be able to afford the first class trip? Or is this woman going to have to take on that burden? And here's the part of these traditional factors that come in, right? These traditional gender roles. Because the man making that money already expects to pay for that woman to go with him on that trip. Here's why you've dated women who made more than you. I've dated women who made more than me, right? And significantly more on both sides of us, right? At the same time, the thing that I think we've also heard from them is, or even seen in other cases, is where people that they've dated in the past who would start to take advantage because this person has money. And that makes them a little more wary.
I get it, but again, I think it's just the wrong mindset to have if you're trying to base it on traditional gender roles. that says if you're the man, because you have a penis, you're supposed to do these things. Build a house, change this, pay for everything, and all that. I think it all depends on y'all's financial situation together as a couple. Now, if you're dating a man who's, not that he makes less money, but with the little money he does make, he mismanages it badly, don't date him. And move on and find your joy. Mm-hmm. But the times that I dated...
Hide your wallet, yeah, hide your credit
cards. The times
cards.
I dated people who made significantly more than me, and I'm like in the seven figures mark more than me. All they wanted from me was time. That's it. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter who paid for what.
Broke me. Hit it.
Hit it. No. It was just quality time. Asshole.
Hit it like you make minimum wage. That's all she wanted.
Oh, you used to work at Sonic? Tell me more about that.
Let's get this foreplay going. Tell me about rolling out in skates to the cars.
Wants a check? Oh, tell me more about that. That's my spot. That's what I'm talking about. No, all I'm saying is it didn't matter how much I made to this person. It was about what I brought to the table, which was more quality time. Mm-hmm. I was open to all that. It wasn't about how much I had. And I wasn't trying to use money as a way to show, hey, this is why I'm awesome. And I think, like, in most cases, men who have significant incomes, that's their go-to.
Yes.
When they try to date is, mm-hmm. hey, I make this,
right?
I have X, I have this, mm-hmm. house, I have these cars, I own the plane, like whatever. Those are the things that they use to get women.
You know why? When you go fishing, don't you need bait?
But that's all they have. That's all they have. Now, there's a lot of people who go fishing and catch a lot of fish. Some use a very expensive, mm-hmm. $500 rod. Some people use a twig, some string, mm-hmm. and a little worm that they were able to dig up on their own. Whole thing costs $2, and they both still catch the same fish. So it just depends on the person. But I think that when
not
people have a
worm.
Mindset, and I think this is where the challenge or the opportunity is for men and women. We have to have more conversation and dialogue about stuff like this. It can't just be a, mm-hmm. you know, broke men this and women are, yes. are, you know, out to get stuff and they have hands like cups, always bigot. That can't be the back and forth. We have to talk about what do we want, what type of person that we want. But I think people still will try to throw that out there. And especially when men try to do it all over, can you cook? Like to me, can you cook and clean? And it's not so much... You got to do one or the other.
Well,
you can't say no to both. You say no to both, I'm out. But if you can cook, great. And you're dirty, okay, I can work on cleaning that. If you can't cook but your house is clean, I can work with that too. But you can't be dirty and can't cook. There's no point in us even dating.
Hey, part of this too is guys' fault. And, you know, guys got to take part of the responsibility of this. When you kept asking women, well, what are you bringing to the table? All right, because... You know, that's a part, and that's a whole nother discussion for another time, because I know there are women who are irked with that whole, what are you bringing to the table? Because again, it breaks away from the traditional roles. But again, ladies, if you don't want that man to ask, what are you bringing to the table? And you want him to take care of the bills, what are you bringing to the table?
If you expect me to pay for all bills... And we go out. My question is, what do you bring to the table? Again, these are the conversations you have when you first start dating. What do you expect in a relationship? If someone's like, mm-hmm. I expect you to pay for every time we go out to eat, we live together, you cover the mortgage, you cover the car notes, you cover the bills. I'm like, okay, great. I can do those things. What do you bring to the table? That is a valid question. Like, what am I going to get from you? You're going to get a good woman who loves you. Let me just stop you right there. Because I can get a good woman for the night for like a fifth of what you're asking for on a monthly basis. So what do you bring to the table?
And she's going to leave.
And she's going to leave.
When I tell her.
She's only going to bring the positive. She's not going to come in the house. Let me tell you about my day at work. And to give you all this negative, it's going to be all about me. And that's great. But I do think it's a valid conversation. I do think you're right that when men started asking women, what do they bring to the table? Could be because more women at that point were a lot more successful, a lot more educated, and had higher positions of power. And so they had a higher demand of the type of men that they wanted, which rightfully so. I think that's fine. But I do think that the better conversation, instead of pointing fingers and saying who's right, wrong, is meeting someone and saying, hey, what do you expect? And if you're a guy and you expect a woman that's going to cook, clean, take care of you, and be your mom, because that's what that is to me, great. Mm-hmm. Find somebody who likes that. But don't knock right. the woman who doesn't want those things, because that's not her fault, and vice versa for women. If you expect a guy that's going to pay for everything, don't knock a guy who's like, yeah, no, what do you bring to the table? I'm not doing all that. I'll do 50%, but that's about it.
Great conversation to have. What do you expect? And that takes us to this bullshit this week. What did these parents expect? So I'm not talking about this guy that I think really just did this literally to go viral on social media, but he said he was refusing to take his daughter to see Barbie because the trailer was overwhelmed with whiteness. And says, you don't have to search for white content. It's already in your face. Like, all right, come on, man. But you know what? Here's the thing. He looked at the trailer. He made an informed decision or misinformed decision. He made a decision and made a decision for his family, mm-hmm. including his kids. Mm-hmm. Unlike these other people that you came across that are just like completely outraged.
Yeah, there's this actress. I'm probably going to pronounce her name wrong, but I think it's Juhi Parmar. She's an Indian actress. She took her 9-year-old daughter to go see the Barbie movie. And within 10 minutes walked out. Her daughter's 10, actually. She walked out within 10 minutes because of the inappropriate sexual connotations. Now, I've asked a lot of people after I saw this article, because I haven't seen it. And I'm like, hey, how bad was it? They're like, nothing. I mean, there are some topics on there that are probably not for kids, but it's PG-13. So you took another 13-year-old there, and then you're going to be upset that the movie is bad. That's like me going to a restaurant, trying a dish. I don't like it. Now I got to blame the restaurant because they made something that I didn't like. That's her fault as a parent. You should have took your kid to a PG-13 movie. Am I wrong?
Okay. There's so many things to unpack here. And the reason I'm, for those of you watching on YouTube, see me putting my head in my hand and just shaking my head is because this is why Trump was elected in 2016.
The Barbie movie.
Keep fucking around. He's going to be back in 2024. Okay. No, because understand this. The cartoons back in the day, they all had sexual innuendo in them anyway. You know who didn't get it? The kids. You know who didn't get it? You, me, because we had no friggin' idea. We were kids, right? But there's always this little edge in there so that adults can sit there and watch it. You're both laughing at the same thing, but for completely different reasons. This is just the oversensitive bullshit that's the far left and the far right love to harp on so much, while the rest of us in the middle are like, would you please stop fighting? Just leave us. Let's get on with the rest of this and make this world a better place, in the words of Michael Jackson. The other part is, why the hell didn't you watch this thing before? If you watch the trailer, it tells you what it's rated. This movie's rated whatever the hell it is. It tells you that.
Right.
So why did you take your 10-year-old there without going and scoping it out first, if that's the case?
100% agree. If you're that cautious about what your kids put into their little minds, okay, either listen to the music they're listening to, go to the movie before they go see it, and you decide for yourself. But you purposely bought 2 tickets to take a 10-year-old to a PG-13 movie, all because it had Barbie on it. Puss in Boots is animated, and it starts out with the main character, the cat, got done knocking down another cat, and he's about to leave and go out the window, say, hey, this was great. Holla. As adults, we knew what that meant. Kids don't understand what that meant, but it's still there. So should Puss in Boots be something that was, and that wasn't PG-13?
Right.
You know, but I mean, should that be a big thing? So I really blame the parent for this, and I don't fault the industry for marketing it towards young girls, because that's who normally buys Barbie dolls. So I get it. It's like McDonald's marketing toys from the Happy Meals. They're not trying to get kids excited about a kid meal cheeseburger, kid meal nuggets. It's the toy. And while they go get the toy, they got to get some nuggets, some fries. And the parents are going to be like, well, while I'm here, give me a quarter pounder, fries, and a Coke. You know, so they made the money. Their whole mission was accomplished. Just like what happened with this case, where this artist You're an actress. Like, to me, you're an actress. You should know better. You know what PG-13 mm-hmm. means. I don't care if you're in India or you're in the US, you know what PG-13 means. That's your bad.
Yeah. You know, it's the bad thing for me in this, and this is where I think it gets even on another level, is the fact that parents now expect, they don't want to be inconvenienced, right? Or the kids say this, so, oh, I got to do it because the kid asked for it. Come on, whatever happened to parenting? You're not your kid's best friend. Let's stop that nonsense right now, right? First of all. So if you think PG-13 may be just a little risque, go watch it first and you determine whether they should watch it or not, okay? Just like the parents at home who are like, well, I got to watch my reality TV. Well, oh, they're only two. Oh, they're only three. They don't know what's going on. Kids are sponges. They're going to soak all that crap up. You know what? When the kids are acting out what they see and what they hear y'all do, and you and then you wonder why you're getting called to the school later, it's on you. You stop blaming everybody else and stop blaming the movie company for a PG-13 movie that was clearly stated PG-13, and you took your child there without seeing it first to understand what was so PG-13 about it. So you wasted the money.
Yep.
Movie tickets aren't cheap. You wasted the money. You went in there and now you're mad? GTFO.
Well, these parents are like these young influencers or wannabe influencers. They could have easily not decided not to watch the movie without making it public. This guy could have said, you know what? There's enough white movies going down the world. I don't need to take my daughter to that. And just keep that to yourself and move on. This Indian actress, she could actually went and said, whoa, this is not right for my kid. And walked out. Mind your business. But you want to go ahead and make it public and make a big thing out of it because this helps you get your name out there in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. So you are just as guilty as the industries that are what you think is manipulating young minds with their movies under PG-13, especially this actress, because you have a following. You could have easily just said, you know what? Not for me. And went on about your life.
You know what? I noticed something here. That was a black man that did that, said he was refusing to take his daughter. There's this Indian woman who was like, oh, I'm appalled, and she walked out. You know who wasn't upset? White people. You know why? Because finally, a movie for us.
Wrong. You're wrong in so many ways. You're wrong for that. It's just, there are a lot of other stories and articles. I just pulled this one, and it happened to be of an Indian actress. There were other people who were outraged for the same reason, and they would be wrong, in my opinion, too.
Okay.
So let's not make this a race deal. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it's a lack of accountability as a parent to say, hey, I probably should have looked into this before I took my kid to see a PG-13 movie.
Hey, don't forget, we're back Tuesday for The Bachelorette. This would be episode, is this going to be 5? Yeah, episode 5. It feels like it's almost
six.
Over, like they're only going to.
Six.
Huh?
Six.
Is it 6?
6, because we did a combo of 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and then last week we did episode 5.
We did 5, right. Okay, I was about to say, man, this thing's almost over already. It's like the Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence fight. It's almost over. And we just started. but so we'll be doing that Tuesday. And then we'll be back again next Tuesday. So we'll be back on our regular schedule on Tuesdays. This thing's going to be over. You know what? I'm thinking we should do a poll because somebody's going to get eliminated, right? And we should do a poll to see who is going to win overall. We already made our choices on that. But we'll do a poll on YouTube and see. Who's gonna win? Who's gonna be the final person with charity?
Well, the
who's
funny thing,
their charitable contribution.
The comments on our last videos, everyone feels out of the four guys left, people have said the names of three of them, but no one has said Dotton. That's gonna get eliminated next week. Like no one has said like who's gonna get eliminated next week. No one has said Dotton.
Yep.
So I feel like I'm going to be right in that prediction, but I am curious to see what other people think, who is going to be the final one that she picks.
And that can be, I think both you and I have Dotton as the last, as the, you know, the sole survivor of this. And we have a difference in opinion who's going to be eliminated. But I think the articles out there kind of swaying people into that too, because there are a lot of articles out there saying that Dotton did it, and even spoilers and all this other stuff. So we'll see. Because some of these things, people say what they think they know and they really don't. And they just clickbait. I know who won. Okay.
This is why I don't follow Reddit, because I don't want to spoil it. If I'm going to watch this crap, let me just kind of play the game in my head. I don't want to like do the research and know
right
week three what the final is going to be. Because I'm like, well, why am I going to watch it then?
Exactly. Now, I will say next week, just because of timing and where we'll be, we'll probably be back with episode 136 a little later in the week. So just a little heads up. We're keeping on a regular schedule with the regular episodes again, but it may be a little later next week, okay?
Yeah, somebody likes to travel. Some of us just stay home and grind.
That's a damn lie, because you were just traveling. Stop it. Stop it.
Touche. Touche.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you found on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.